formulate. The carrion turned to Phylax.
Alert our brothers on the lower floors. They are unlikely to believe us, the salamander told him, and reached for a nearby voxcaster.
I wouldn't, Salvador admitted.
They'll believe it when airborne assault carriers start dropping out of the sky, Scaramanga said.
Forewarned is forearmed,
the carrion said, retracting his spike interface from the socket.
Which raises another problem,
the iron warrior said. He slipped the oily straps of a pair of Umbra pattern bolt guns off his pauldron.
The good news from maintenance, he told the legionaries, as he threw one weapon to Alcavan Salvador and the other to Nemrom Phylax.
As a sign of respect, every space marine was expected to surrender his legionary bolt gun upon arrival at Mars. The only weapons available in the tower preceptory were those in the workshops.
Ammunition?
Salvador asked.
The bad news,
the Iron Warrior admitted.
From the test range. A half mag each.
The carrion found himself looking in wonder at Aulus Scaramanga. He had no doubt that under his Primarch's command once more, the Iron Warrior would be destined for greatness. Beyond his technical skill, all the hallmarks of exemplary leadership were there. Clarity of thought and composure, an appetite, perhaps even an enthusiasm for battle. Modesty in issuing the only legionary weapons available to fellow battle brothers while looking to others for insight and guidance. Scaramanga felt the Raven Guard's infra-augmented gaze on him.
Well, carrion?
The Iron Warrior asked.
Where will we find the bodies?
The carrion turned to take in the technical hangar. An assortment of vehicles, weaponry, and bulk equipment in various states of assembly and disrepair was scattered across the floor space. Bulkheads led off to the workshops and cell block, and the balcony platform projected out from the hangar, flashing with landing lamps. The carrion gestured across the hangar.
The Skitarii have calculated that they can't work up from the ground and take the tower floor by floor, the Raven Guard decided. It would give us too much time to get entrenched, Salvador said.
Indeed,
the carrion agreed.
As Tibor says, the phase fusilatrix will hit all floors simultaneously from the air. They'll rely on numbers.
And the fact that they have weapons and we do not,
Nemrom Phylax added, pulling the voxcaster from his ebony cheek.
We are weapons,
Aulus Scaramanga growled.
And we'll use the hangar equipment for cover, the carrion said, and take as many of them as we can as they attempt entrance. Unfortunately, the tower preceptory was not designed with a siege in mind.
That works in both our favors,
Scaramanga agreed.
But we can fall back to the workshops if required, and if time allows, move for the roof or work our way down through the levels to rendezvous with our brothers below.
Time won't allow for that, Tibor Ventidian said suddenly. The ultramarine was still studying the static-laced hololithic display. He pointed at a ghostly dark shape on the Hellespontici, making for Novus Mons.
What is it?
The carrion asked.
A Titan war machine, Ventidian said bleakly. Warlord class, I think.
Oh, terror,
Alcavan Salvador murmured.
What's their Legio designation?
The carrion asked. The Legio Mortis, Ventidian confirmed, flash reading the scrolling columns of runes.
What does that matter?
Phylax put to the Raven Guard.
The Legio Mortis are pledged to Kelbor Hull, the carrion told the legionaries.
He allowed a moment to let the scale of their doom sink in.
We have to alert Terra,
Salvador said, turning to the rune bank.
I must warn my Lord Dawn.
At that moment, the lamps and hololithic haze died about the Tech Marines in training. A great clunk echoed about the technical hangar as equipment simultaneously fell silent, plunging the hall into twilight. Only the pale red light of the long Martian sunrise reached inside from the hangar entrance.
They cut the power,
Phylax said, dropping the voxcaster.
Probably to the entire quadrant, the carrion said.
Outside, the legionaries could hear the growing shriek of aircraft engines as a swarm of silhouettes bled out of the haze of the Martian dust storm. The assault carriers of Martian autocrater ground forces.
I can't actually believe this is happening, Ventidian said.
Mars and Terra at war?
We don't know that, Phylax said. Mars could be at war with itself.
The Dark Code, the Carrion told them.
He thought on the insanity beyond the datanet, and his dream of the heretic Octal Bool.
The corruption is spreading. The streams could pollute all the Red Planet systems. The canker bleeds from every port and interface. This is a doom of Martian making, I'm sure of it.
Aulus Scaramanca's smile curled to a snarl.
It doesn't matter. Let's get this done, the Iron Warrior said.
The Carrion didn't have anything better for the gathered legionaries, who stared in disbelief as their Mechanicum overlords turned against them.
Positions, he instructed.
As the legionaries took cover behind the shells of stripped-out tanks and bulk equipment, black shapes like birds of prey resolved themselves from the pale Martian sunrise. Loud-hailing augmitters were projecting a cacophony from above, a squealing code feed that filled the chamber. The Carrion had taken a forward position with Tibor Ventidian, selecting the long shaft of a cog wrench from an assortment of tools sitting in an open storage crate. The cog wrench was a multi-tool. It had the weight of a hammer, while its denticle serrated cog blade crackled with its own cutting field. Squeezing a clutch handle set in the crank prompted the cog blade to part, juddering up and down the shaft railing, turning the tool into a heavy-duty wrench and a brutal weapon. Ventidian, who was slapping a sickle magazine into the breech of his Phobos pattern bolt gun, suddenly doubled over. The Carrion heard an unseemly shriek escape the Ultramarine's lips. Casting a glance over the top of the plasma core generator he was hiding behind, the Raven Guard got to his feet. The bionics of his replacement legs carried him swiftly across the open space of the hangar, skidding down on his armored knees beside Ventidian. The legionary, who was sheltering behind a stripped-down Gravcraft power plant, was in obvious agony and had dropped his weapon on the floor. Approaching the problem, as he might with any malfunctioning machine, the tech marine in training saw that the incapacitated ultramarine was clutching his ear. Prizing a clenched gauntlet away from his head, the Carrion saw that the Cognis Signum, built into the side of the ultramarine's reconstructed cranium, was sparking and his optic was flickering with agony. Fearing that the communications array was amplifying the transmission of dark code, the Raven Guard settled on a swift solution. Clenching his hydraulic fist, the Carrion fired his interface spikes. Withdrawing three of the pins and the fourth to half extension, he punched Ventidian in the side of the head. Firing the socket lock at the end of the spike, the Carrion tore his bionic fist back, dragging the sparking array with it. He flicked the code-squealing device at the floor and turned to inspect his handiwork. The hollow in the Ultramarine's cranium oozed blood and oil, but after a moment, Ventidian's blue optic sizzled back to life, and the legionary brought up a gauntlet to indicate that he was all right. As the Ultramarine scooped up his bolt gun from the deck, the Lazstorm began. The Carrion heard the whir of multi-laser barrels as hull-mounted weapons lit up the gloom of the hangar with a staccato of light. Searing beams cut through lesser equipment and plating in a relentless hail of streaking energies. The blinding sting of lasfire chewed up the grill flooring and punched patterns of tiny holes through plasteel and diagnostic equipment. Bleak Martian daylight threw thin shafts through the smoking holes, crisscrossing the hangar. The legionaries had expected such an attack. Their training and experience on the battlefields had prompted them to take cover behind materials and equipment that could withstand such an onslaught. The Carrion saw Nemron Phylax kneeling behind a partially dismantled executioner tank, while Aulus Scaramanca was busy amongst the cables and power cells of a half-built cannon emplacement. As the gunner's cab turned to scrap under the slashing beams of an assault carrier's multilaser, the Iron Warrior completed his rites of activation and hasty socket work. The beamstorm turned into a spheric wall of refracted light as Scaramanca charged and jury-rigged the emplacement's field defenses. The ancient Valkyrie aircraft drifted and screeched before the hangar opening, the loud-hailed binaric falling out of them like madness. The Carrion could hear the cacophony of code, vector jets and multi-lasers playing out on the floor below, and the one below that. He could imagine the tower preceptory, swarming with assault carriers, the twinkle of guns slashing the hangars, balcony platforms, and shuttered viewports with their las weaponry. Filtering through the noise and havoc of the assault, the Carrion swore that he could hear the distant thunder of bolt fire. He hoped that his battle brothers on the lower decks had received their warning and had been able to make preparations for the coming slaughter. The light show was suddenly over. Bleached sunlight filtered through the beam-shot hangar, cutting through the smoke and small explosions of ruptured cells and equipment. The Carrion had expected as much. The Mechanicum forces were clearly not themselves, slaves to the code corruption that flooded their systems, but the Skitarii could be relied upon to act in accordance with their ancient and inflexible martial protocols. He heard the vox-hailed Jabberkant grow in volume as the assault carrier swept in. After the multilaser mauling of the tower, the aircraft were drifting in to deliver their deadly cargo of constructs, the Scopulan Phase Fusilatrix. Risking a quick glance above the power plant behind which he had positioned himself with Tibor Ventidian, the Carrion saw the fuselage and underhung wings of three assault carriers drift in. Their canopies glowed with a sickly luminescence, while the same bale light poured forth from the troop sections as door ramps jutted open under the fuselage. The Carrion could see the silhouettes of Skitarii warriors filing forward through the radiance and caterwauling code. Slipping back down the side of the engine column, the Carrion signalled Nemrom Phylax. He pointed at the executioner hull that the salamander was using for cover before jabbing towards the nearest assault carrier, whose landing gears were grazing the balcony platform. Phylax gave a slow nod, priming his bolt gun. The Carrion readied himself, similarly drawing Alcavan Salvador's attention to the mighty salamander and slapping Ventidian's pauldron. He didn't have to wait long. Moments later, he heard the excruciating grind of tank tracks eating up the grill floor of the hangar. Using his great servo arm to lift the rear of the tank, Phylax had his pack against the executioner's hull, heaving it step by magnetized step towards the enemy. The Skitarii exiting the assault carrier in feverish lines were things of crimson cloaks and clinkered bronze. They were draped in ceremonial mail, while their faces had been replaced by skull-fused triocular targeting systems. Their phased plasma fusils spat balls of energized hydrogen at the executioner's hull, striking the tank's plating like sickly suns in miniature. The armor facing of the phase fusilatrix began to glow, melt, and dribble into ruin. As Nemrom Phylax heaved the vehicle at them, using its thick plates like a gargantuan's shield, the Carrion signalled Ventidian and Salvador to offer cover fire with their bolt guns. Pushing the executioner forwards on its thick tracks, Phylax forced the disembarking Skitarii to fan left and right to outflank him. Alcavan Salvador was moving forwards himself, expertly making use of cover offered by the bulk equipment and practice pieces littering the technical hangar. As an Imperial Fist, he was as one with the siege, where it was essential to drive the enemy from your ground without giving any away. Crouching, sidling, and moving swiftly between cover, the legionary blasted single rounds at the autocrator ground troops who were flooding the platform. From corners, over busy cover and on the move, the Imperial Fist's aim was impeccable, each bolt smashing through the armored chests of warrior constructs and putting the sickly fusions of man and machine down on the deck. As Salvador's expert marksmanship put down the right flank, the Skitarii on the left had fanned out and were hammering the side of the executioner tank with volleys of blinding orbs. The Carrion could hear the repetitive clunk of a firing mechanism as Tibor Ventidian failed to appease the weapon's spirit. He could hear the Ultramarine's mumbled frustrations as rites, litanies, and pleading prayers to the Omnisire did nothing to get the bolt gun operational. "Carrion!" Ventidian said. "Carrion, I..." The Carrion looked from Ventidian, willing the weapon to work, to Nemrom Phylax, who was heaving the ruined tank with the great strength of his servo arm and one of his gauntlets, while holding his bolt gun in the other, desperately slamming bolt rounds through code-dribbling Skitarii, who had made their way around the vehicle. The Carrion broke cover and accelerated into a piston-charged run. Unlike Salvador, he did not possess a siege master's innate understanding of cover and firing arcs. What he had was the power and acceleration of his bionic limbs and a Raven Guard's instinct for impending death and destruction, both received and delivered. Surging across the hangar, the Carrion immediately attracted the tri-optic targeters of the flanking phase fuselatrix. Turning their weapons around on the streaking shadow in Midnight Plate, their distracted attention allowed Nemron Phylax a moment's respite. Searing balls of unnatural plasma slammed into the deck in the Carrion's wake. Stamping dents into the grill with his increasing speed, the Carrion leapt out of the path of a plasma volley, scaling bulk equipment and the stripped-out chassis of myriad vehicles before bounding across the open space between them, the air between him roasted by rocketing shots. Landing on the sloping wing of an engineless light cargo hauler, the Carrion hooked into the battered plating with his replacement hand, his hydraulic digits acting like a grapnel. He stopped there for a moment, allowing the shuttle to soak up the barrage of plasma the code-squealing Skitari were pumping at him. He was close now, and could hear the grunt of the salamander's exertions, the thud of blasted warrior constructs hitting the deck, and the clunk of the bolt gun's half-magazine running dry. Releasing his hold on the patchwork plating of the wing, the Carrion allowed himself to slide off and roll to one side. He tumbled across his pauldrons and the conduction finia of his node columns, appearing briefly between an ambulatory freight host and a pair of gigabarrels that had contained consecrated oils. The phased plasma fusels of the Skitari scorched through the hangar decking and blasted the barrels clear, but the Carrion was already gone. Bounding up the framework of the derrick, the Carrion launched himself into the air. The Raven Guard's black robes flapped and trailed about him as he surged across the open space at the disembarking Skitari, the shaft of his cog wrench held high. With a servo-shredding effort that drew a roar from Nemron Phylax, the glowing wreck of the Executioner accelerated across the platform. From above, the Carrion could see Salvador's economical bolt fire crash through Skitari chests and the combat chassis on the far side of the tank. Below him, warrior constructs erupted in a fountain of oil, gore, and workings. Ventidian had finally coaxed his bolt gun into operation. With steely yanks on the trigger, the Ultramarine shredded the Skitari front line beneath the Carrion's plasteel-crafted feet. When the Carrion did land, it was with brute assurance. Delivering the killing blow to a bolt-mangled member of the phase fuselatrix, he crushed the warrior construct into the deck. The Skitari's tri-optics were whirring and rotating with discombobulation, as a combination of the tank, Ventidian's belated bolt-fire, and the Carrion simultaneously came at them. Their boots had barely touched down on the platform of the Tower Preceptory before they had transformed from those carrying out the assault to those suffering in it. Before they had time to fully process what was happening, the Carrion was among them. His replacement fist was an adamantium hammer, smashing through optics, brain integrates, and bone. The fired interface spikes were a metal talon that he used to cross-slash Skitari and skull-stab the warrior constructs to the deck. His crackling cog wrench was a wheeling, serrated cosh that he turned in one gauntlet, smashing Mechanicum soldiers aside and off the edge of the platform. The Carrion heard the Executioner crash into the assault carrier, and the aircraft scraped back on its landing gears. With the phase fuselatrix scattered, and Salvador and Ventidian's merciless bolt-fire pirouetting warrior constructs and cutting skirmish lines in half, the Carrion pumped the hydraulic jaws of the cog wrench open. Using the power of both arms, one flesh and the other bionic, the Space Marine cut through the trunks of the combat chassis of the unfortunate soldiers. With chunks of flesh and shattered workings raining about him, the Carrion took the head clean off a code-gabbling officer tribune before mag-locking the cog wrench to his belt and joining Nemron Phylax behind the derelict tank. Stomping into the deck and firing the magna hydraulics of his replacement legs, the Carrion heaved at the smashed Executioner and the skidding landing gears of the assault carrier beyond. The cockpit and troop bay glowed with the same wretched radiance as before. There was no panic as the shell of the smouldering tank drove the rear gears of the Valkyrie off the platform. There were no screams, just the same rabid cant and rancid code that poured forth from the aircraft loudhailers. With the last of the autocrator ground troops dropping about them, and Salvador and Ventidian moving in, Phylax and the Carrion heaved for all their legs and shoulders were worth. Releasing his great servo arm, Phylax barged with the Raven Guard, and with a final scrape, the carrier and the tank plummeted off the platform edge. Looking down, the Carrion and the Salamander watched the pair of vehicles fall. The assault carrier didn't even attempt any kind of rescue, nor did the crew abandon their aircraft. The spinning Valkyrie smashed through several others, hovering off the edges of low hangar platforms, creating a plunging knock-on of wrecked fuselage and tumbling Skitari down the side of the tower. The building was swarming with aircraft, however, with two more drifting down toward the balcony platform. One turned around to present its screeching door gunner and the gaping barrel of a heavy bolter, while the other put down heavily as the door ramp of its troop bay opened. Suddenly, the assault carrier drifting before Phylax and the Carrion seemed to blur in a scything storm of dark energy. The aircraft and all the Skitari inside were riddled through with tenebrous needle beams that carved up the craft from within before causing it to erupt in a fireball of exotic black flame. Tracing the devastation back to its origin, the Carrion found that while they had been repelling the first wave of Phase Fusilatrix, Aulus Scaramanca had performed a field repair on the gun emplacement in which he had taken refuge. Cycling the emplacement's refractor field with the firing emissions, the Iron Warrior had brought the photon thrusters back to timely life, shredding the first Valkyrie before slashing through the mob of screeching Skitari, hammering down the ramp of the second. As the sound of bolt fire across the platform died, Phylax and the Carrion turned to retreat with cover provided by the technical hangar. Both Salvador and Ventidian were out of precious ammo, but there was no shortage of red assault carriers sweeping in. Undeterred by the resistance of several decks and encouraged by the slaughter on others, the Skitari extermination force would not be denied. Even the needle beams of pure darkness seething out of the hangar interior from Scaramanca's photon thruster could not put the code-crazed soldiers off. Hovering above the balcony platform and out of reach of the cannon's limited fire arcs, crowding assault carriers opened their troop bay doors. Corruption-canting tribunes commanded their autocrator troops off the juddering ramps, causing Skitari to rain down on the platform, breaking bones that could no longer be felt or landing on the suspensors of bionic legs. They started firing as they landed, pummeling the hangar with blasts of plasma. Scaramanca chewed up the hordes of dropping Skitari with whipping streams of photon fire, but there were too many. Ventidian and Salvador looked on, helpless and bereft of ammunition, as Phylax and the Carrion made a run back for the cover of the hangar. The Carrion's hydraulics made light work of the deck, his feet crunching and squelching through what was left of the warrior constructs. The hulking Salamander was not built for speed and agility, especially with the great bulk of his harness pack and servo arm. As the Carrion surged on, putting generatoria and hydraulic wagons of sheet armor plas between him and the storm of phased plasma that was hot on his heels, Nemron Phylax slowed with a roar of frustration and came crashing down onto the scratched green of his armored knees. A salvo of plasma had slammed into his back, raging its way through the workings of his pack. The chittering Skitari delivered the miniature sons of armor-boiling death into the legionary, limping up behind the Salamander to deliver volley after killing volley. The Carrion could only watch as the contorted agony of Nemron Phylax's ebony face framed the clenched silver of his teeth. The Salamander's chest became a bubbling pit of melting plate and blinding light as plasma cored its furious way through his body.
No!
The Carrion roared. Ventidian attempted to grab Nemron's arm and pull him to safety, but it was too late. He was gone. As a hail of superheated death came at him, the Raven Guard weaved this way and that, allowing the hangar equipment and vehicles in various states of repair to take the punishment. As hordes of Skitari dropped down onto the platform and marched on the hangar, the twilight became a blinding blizzard of plasma, turning metal and decking to glowing slag. Pinned down behind a cargo powerlifter, and with the loader turning to molten scrap, the Carrion slammed the digits of his hydraulic hand down on the lifter's rear-mounted power plant. Placing the conduction plate of his palm in contact with the bulk diaquartzoid cells, the Carrion siphoned the stored energies from the machine, channeling the stolen power through the metallic strips that wound their way subdermally through his pale flesh. The Techmarine in training felt his body warm. The silver of his eyes blazed, while his torso felt like it burned with the power of a barely contained nova. Draining the power plant and stepping back, the Carrion thrust his palm at the power lifter and unleashed a phased discharge of electromagnetic energy. The arcing torrent of energy blasted the monstrous bulk of the loader, caving its side in and sending the machine rolling across the hangar deck. It mangled the grilled floor and the throng of Skitari behind it. The disintegrating powerlifter crashed, tumbled, and skid through the Mechanicum soldiers in its path and took their smashed bodies with it off the balcony platform edge. Stalking forward with cold fury, the Carrion unleashed the storm inside him. Angling the outstretched digits of his hand and the anbaric fount at nearby phase fuselatrix that had escaped the carnage, the Carrion blasted streams of lightning through the warrior constructs. The Skitaris stopped the code gibbering and fell to their knees as their smouldering flesh cooked and their workings fried. The Carrion's ears registered the calls of Ventidian and Salvador, and even the dying beam storm of Scaramanca's photon thruster as it took one last scything pass across the deck before its power cells died. For his battle brothers, the sickening reality of the situation was unfolding with such force and disbelief that it was difficult to process. The doubts and confusion that had been eating away at the Carrion, fed by dark dreams, an overworked cogitator, and his genetic instinct for the covert and the clandestine, found sudden expression. However impossible it was for him to believe, there was an enemy to be found on Mars. An enemy that wanted to destroy the Legiones Astartes' presence on the Red Planet and nullify the threat they posed in being the living, breathing authority of the Emperor. As Skitari warriors raised the baroque barrels of their fusils at the Carrion, he scorched them with the channeled energies ebbing from his systems. Warrior constructs were raining from the sky, hitting the platform at a crouch and bringing their phased plasma fusils up to fire upon the legionaries. The Carrion surged into the throng ahead of him. Snatching his cog wrench from where it was maglocked to his belt, he batted weapon barrels aside, sending small suns seething into the deck. He smashed tri-optic targeting systems from skulls in showers of parts and brained the insanity-spewing Skitari with bludgeoning swings of his dentical serrated weapon. As plasma blasts grazed his midnight plate and seared past him, the Carrion slammed his palm against the clinker-armored chests of the augmented soldiers. Within moments, he drained their combat chassis-housed power cores before using the very same energies to blast the warrior constructs back through their code-babbling ranks. Before long, the Carrion was standing in a mound of metal and scorched flesh. The phase fuselatrix continued to drop from the sky, while autocrator pilots processed what the legionaries already knew. Scaramanca's devastating photon cannon was out of power. Assault carriers that swarmed the pale red Martian heavens once more swooped in to deliver their corrupted cargoes. Rust-red aircraft that already had disgorged their cargo screeched off the surface of the platform, charging their weaponry. The Carrion was suddenly pushed sideways by an unstoppable force. It was Tibor Ventidian. The Ultramarine had charged into him with all the brute insistence his powered armor could bring to bear. Slamming the Raven Guard into the crumpled side of an itinerant tool carriage, Ventidian held him there, while Alcavan Salvador knocked a plasma fusel aside with his gauntlet and smashed the Skitari who was holding it down with his armored fist. The razor-sharp blade of his prized combat blade thudded into another warrior construct, and he drove the trioptic-fused skull of another into the tool carriage several times before tossing the augmented soldier's body away. The Carrion turned his silver-glazed eyes on Ventidian's patrician face. The Ultramarine was speaking to him, but the words would not register. Willing his cogitator to cut through the fug of emotion and supra-stimulants released into his blood as a result of the battle, the Carrion finally heard Ventidian.
"Are you listening to me?"
the Ultramarine shouted.
"We have to fall back and regroup with our brothers on the lower floors!"
The Carrion looked to Salvador, who was recovering his blade. He gave a grim nod, which the Raven Guard managed to copy. Ventidian pulled at his pauldron, turning the Carrion towards the smoke-wreathed twilight at the rear of the hangar. Swinging for another autocrator soldier as it sidled around the tool carriage with its baroque weapon, Salvador sent the fired plasma blast rocketing for the ceiling. Hooking the digits of his gauntlet into the carriage, the Imperial fist heaved at the itinerant machine, toppling it over on top of the downed Skitarii. As the three legionaries dodged between the bulk equipment and trussed vehicles with droves of static-screeching Skitarii behind them, the swirling haze of the hangar was lit up by balls of spitting plasma and the stuttering beams of multilaser cutting through obstacles and obstructions. The Techmarines in training did their best to keep as much of the heavy-duty equipment and practice pieces between them and the energy storm, working its way up behind them. Then the Carrion heard it. The dour clunk of the freight elevator. As the Space Marine's heavy run took them to the rear of the hangar, there was an equally dreary ding as the thick elevator doors juddered open.
"Down!"
the Carrion roared, skidding down onto the adamantium sheen of his armored legs and hydraulics. Skitarii of the Phase Fusilatrix were there, but how, the Raven Guard did not know. Perhaps they had worked their way up from swiftly subjugated lower levels. Perhaps they had infiltrated the tower from the other side, at the same time as attempting to take the hangars and platforms. A wall of plasma came at the legionaries, washing over the Carrion's head. Balls of superheated hydrogen slammed into Ventidian and Salvador. The Ultramarine was killed outright, a searing blast of plasma taking his head horribly from his armored shoulders. Raging discharges blasted several holes clean through Alcavan Salvador's robes and yellow plate, the momentum causing the legionary to stumble and crash down onto the deck. He bounced off his armored chest before sliding alongside the prone Carrion, his lifeless face frozen in a moment of sudden shock. The Imperial fist's master-crafted blade clattered across the deck and skidded under a nearby vehicle. The Skitarii marched with heavy augmented steps out of the freight elevator, squealing code-speak passing between the corrupted constructs. Their targeting systems whirred and revolved like the multi-lens of a microscope, fixing on the Raven Guard. An officer construct looked down on the Carrion with something like machine scorn, before slipping a bulky Volkite pistol from a holster strapped across the clinker plate of his chest. As he turned it to his prone target, the Carrion's lip curled. Sinking the digits of his gauntlet and hydraulic hand into Alcafan Salvador's suit pack, the Carrion hauled the dead Imperial fist in front of him like a shield. As the Skitarii officer charged a deflagrating blast into the unfortunate Salvador, the Carrion drained the power cells of the Imperial fist's pack and suit's automotive systems of energy. Resting the armored bionics of his arm on the Imperial fist's pauldron, the Carrion unleashed a short stream of anbaric energy at the officer construct and blasted his smoldering form back through his Skitarii and into the elevator. Getting to his knees, the Carrion blasted a second, third, and fourth stream as his attackers tried to turn their plasma fusils back on him. As the Carrion got back onto his feet, he slammed yet more arcs of seething energy into the departing Skitarii. The scavenged power coursing through his systems began to dissipate, and as it did, the Raven Guard was forced to kick out at the last of the interloping warrior constructs with one of his bionic legs. Firing the powerful pistons, the Carrion kicked the Skitarii back into the hangar wall, shattering its chassis. With Skitari working their way through the maze of repair bays and equipment, the Carrion picked his way through the corpses of the dead constructs. Their fusils were built into appendage mountings. It would be impossible for him to appropriate one in the time he had. The Carrion watched as the beams of shoulder-mounted torches and the targeting beams of Skitari cut through the smoke and darkness of the hangar rear. The first Skitari rounded a partially disassembled reactor core and immediately raised its fusil. With something approaching surprise, the construct was suddenly seized by something and wrenched back into the darkness and obscurity. The angle and movement of the Skitari's shoulder lamps and tri-optic targeter beams were frantic. There was something with them in the smouldering murk of the multi-laser-riddled hangar. The jabbercant of corrupt code became sharp and excitable. Fusils spat balls of plasma in alarm and confusion as Skitari were seized and flung through the obscurity, into each other, the unforgiving sides of equipment and hangar floor and walls. Code screeching was punctuated by the sound of powered fists smashing warrior constructs to bloody metal scrap. Shattered workings rained from the darkness, while a fleeing member of the Phase Fusilatrix backed out of the acrid haze. So preoccupied was it with the brutal destruction of its compatriot units that it was barely aware of the Carrion's presence. The Raven Guard fired the haptic spikes of his hydraulic fist, but no such precautions were necessary. As the Skitari backed away, scanning the smoke with its targeter tri-beams and angling its baroque fusil, the stripped-down chassis of a land speeder erupted from the darkness. The vehicle didn't need its ramjets to fly through the air. It had been tossed from the murk with pure mechanical force. The Carrion saw the Skitari lower its weapon, as if accepting the inescapability of its fate. The chassis crashed through the warrior construct, turning it into mulched flesh and brass before rolling and smashing into the hangar wall. From the darkness marched the iron warrior Aulus Scaramanca, a vision of battered plate, blood-splattered stripes and plasma-scorched chevrons. He was a mess. While the Carrion had been battling warrior constructs with Ventidians, Salvador and Phylax on one side of the hangar, the Iron Warrior had been single-handedly keeping the Mechanicum forces at bay on the other. He limped towards the Carrion with a grim glower, his powerful mechadendrite limbs snaking and sparking about him. He looked down at the corpses of Ventidian and Salvador before grunting. As he got nearer, the Carrion could see that the flesh on one half of Scaramanca's face had been blistered away by the near miss of a raging blast of superheated hydrogen. Tendons, teeth, and charred muscle were all on show, but it didn't seem to bother the Iron Warrior. Looking down, he found an Autocrator soldier that the Carrion had blasted into the hangar wall, reaching out to an abandoned Volkite pistol. The Iron Warrior stepped on the warrior construct's hand with his heavy armored boot and managed to find enough moisture in his mouth to hock and spit down on the thing. The Carrion nodded. It was hard to articulate the horror of what was happening to them.
"We've got to get out of here."
"Face it," Scaramanca said, giving the Raven Guard the full glory of his half-melted visage. His black lips cracked to form a sardonic smile. "We're not getting off Mars alive."
The Carrion hadn't even thought that far ahead. Through the hangar wall and the superstructure of the tower preceptory, he could feel rhythmic tremors. His cogitator shaft told him that there was an 8.237% chance that the vibrations originated from tectonic activity. Everything else in his systems, his experience and his bones, told the legionary that a Titan god machine was approaching, the one that Ventidian had identified as closing in the orbital images.
"I'm serious," the Carrion said.
"When aren't you?"
the Iron Warrior asked. The Carrion worked through the possibilities. Somewhere, a code-corrupted logic engine would be monitoring the attack on the tower preceptory. It had been calculating Phase Fusilatrix losses as opposed to the calculated likelihood of the Space Marine's survival. Scaramanca and the Carrion had become an unfortunate part of that equation, and the logic engine had decided on a more drastic solution to the problem.
"This tower is about to be leveled," the Carrion told him. "A Titan approaches."
A snarl creaked through the Iron Warrior's charred features.
"Coward constructs of Mars."
The Iron Warrior wasn't wrong, but something else was bothering the Carrion. Looking over Scaramanca's pauldron, he noticed that the hordes of Skitarii had gone, undoubtedly responding to a collective recall. He could no longer hear the scream of multilasers tearing up hangars on any of the levels. Worst of all, the bleak light of the Martian day had disappeared. Something cold, colossal, and intent on absolute destruction was standing before the Tower Preceptory. An apocalyptic emissary from the Legio Mortis had arrived with missives of their death and total annihilation.
"Aulus,"
the Carrion began. But it was too late. Their doom had found them. The Iron Warrior turned and limped through the smoke. The Carrion paused. There was no time to get to ground level. There would be no rescue or daring escape by shuttle. There was only death. The Carrion walked after his battle brother, his cellmate, his friend. They worked their way through the mangled labyrinth of flaming obstacles that had been their technical hangar, a place where they had spent 30 years together, perfecting their craft and learning the arcane lore of the Mechanicum and the Machine God. All to be sacrificed before one of the mightiest of the Omnissiah's hallowed creations. They walked between the bodies and pools of oil and blood that had collected on the balcony platform, and stood side by side on the edge of the landing platform, before the monstrous guns of the warlord Titan. Mighty banners rippled from the lengths of gargantuan Gatling blasters, bearing the death's head design of the Legio Mortis. From the ancient patchwork of her battle scars, the Carrion recognized the monstrous god machine's designation, Tantus Aboliterus. At least the legionaries were going to fall to a machine with a glorious history and an eternity of battle honors. Across the open space where Skitarii assault carriers were descending and the dust of the storm was settling, the Space Marines could hear the boom of a colossal firing mechanism clearing. The Carrion felt the sound thunder through him and looked down at the spiraling assault carriers. Even for a member of the Legiones Astartes, the prospect of being fired upon by a god machine was humbling. When Tantus Aboliterus opened fire on the Tower Preceptory, the sky-shattering hurricane of gargantuan shells would rip through the structure, blasting apart rock-crete, plasteel support structures, and everything within, including any legionaries still left alive. The descending carriers were inbound to take up position about the inevitable collapse. Should any of the Emperor's angels survive being buried under a mountain of rubble, the remaining Skitarii of the Phase Fusilatrix would be ready to end them.
"I fear for Terra," the Carrion said finally. "And the Emperor. I wish we could have warned them."
Alcavan Salvador had been right. It should have been the dire duty of the Legiones Astartes to alert the Emperor to the threat of rebellion on Mars. They had failed, and no doubt Terra would discover the treachery of the Mechanicum in blood and fire. The Carrion could only hope that there were those who served the Omnissiah whose conscience would not allow such an atrocity.
"The fists will safeguard the Emperor," the Iron Warrior said.
Given the historic rivalry between the two legions, the Carrion reasoned that it could not have been an easy truth to admit. Many Iron Warriors, Aulus Scaramanca among them, thought that it should have been the Fourth Legion's honor to accompany the Emperor back to Terra and fortify the capital of the glorious Imperium.
"What of us?" the Carrion asked.
Before them, the great barrels of the gargantuan Gatling blasters began to creak and turn in readiness for their firing protocols.
"Like the Mechanicum,"
Aulus Scaramanca said.
The Fourth Legion live the harmony of flesh and iron. We were made for it. We are the strength of the land. The stone that shields, the ore that yields. Beyond the blood and rust-stained battlefields of Olympia, I can think of no better place for an iron warrior to rest his bones than in the red soil of mighty Mars.
With the thunder of colossal servos and giga-loading mechanisms building, the iron warrior turned his back on Tantus Abeliterus. He reached towards the Raven Guard.
The sons of Corvus Corax, however, Aulus Scaramanca said, were forged to fly.
With those last grim words trailing away on the Martian breeze, the Iron Warrior seized the Carrion's arm and heaved the lighter legionary around, like a planet and its companion moon, and spun, pitching him with all his armored strength off the edge of the landing platform. As the Carrion plummeted, rolling and tumbling through the thin forge world air, he saw the Iron Warrior watching his fall. And then, with a thundercrack that seemed to tear reality apart, the gargantuan Gatling blaster fired the first of its monstrous shells. There was another crack, and then another, until the thunder became a continuous roaring cacophony that almost split the ear. The tower's top shattered. One moment it was there, the precept tree in which the Carrion, Scaramanca, Phylax, Salvador, and Ventidian had trained, slept, and toiled. Then it was gone. A shell-shredded blur of masonry and plasteel that fell with the Carrion down towards the unforgiving surface of Mars. With Tantus Abeliterus standing like a god in judgment before him and the blast-riddled tower preceptory collapsing behind, the world became a kaleidoscope of brain-aching sound, the savage rush of air and grit through the Carrion's long, black hair and the irrepressible plunge dread that he felt in his pre-stomach. With his cogitator cutting through the confusion, coming to terms with Scaramanca's sacrifice and what had to be done swiftly to honour it, the sizzling static of his silver-glazed infravision seared to vertiginous clarity. With his black robes whipping about him in the maelstrom, the Raven Guard used his training to break out of the tumbling roll and stabilize his descent. Without an actual jump pack, he knew he had mere seconds to act. With arms and legs outstretched, the Carrion angled his heavy form at one of the rust-red assault carriers as he spiraled towards the ground. Bracing himself, the Carrion hit the back of the aircraft like an adamantium cannonball. He bounced off the hull plating, the impact almost knocking him unconscious. The carrier was knocked off station, sounding several alarms in the cockpit beyond. Sliding and scraping across the hull of the corkscrewing aircraft, the Carrion clawed at the assault carrier's spine, sliding down between the aircraft's turbojet columns. Hooking his arm through the pipes and cables with a gauntlet, the Space Marine was slammed back and forth between the screeching engines. Engaging the magnetic plates in the crafted feet of his bionic legs and winding his arm further through the nest of heavy-duty cables running down the aircraft's back, the Carrion straddled the assault carrier's spine. With a grunt, he slammed the palm of his hydraulic hand into the plating of the starboard engine. Drawing a raw torrent of power from a turbojet, he felt the assault carrier answer immediately. As he drained energy from the aircraft's engines and systems, the Carrion allowed the Skitari craft to gently drift downwards under his control. Fearing that the carrier was going to put down beside the collapsing preceptory, the cockpit-wired pilot used the aircraft's failing power to drift down through the labyrinth of the Novus Mons worker habs. Without power to lower the gears, the assault carrier spiraled into a belly bounce, a spinning skid and wing-shearing stop short of a harsh landing. As the aircraft wrapped itself around the rockcrete corner of a worker hab block, the Carrion was torn from his purchase and rolled across the assault carrier's back into the side of the building. With blood in his eyes from a gash on the head, the Carrion shook off the impact. As the Space Marine clawed his way across the buckled hull and slid off the aircraft, he could hear the jabbercant of corrupted constructs over the vox-hailer, screeching to get out. Landing on its belly had effectively sealed the troop compartment of the shattered aircraft. The Carrion stumbled away from the carrier, the static-laced insanity grating on the rawness of his nerves and the booming emptiness in his hearts. He decided that he wasn't going to wait for the phase fuselatrix inside to cut their way through to the cockpit and get out through the canopy. With his thin lips wrinkling into a snarl, the Raven Guard thrust his palm at the downed craft. The scavenged energies surging through the strip helix were hot where they wound their way through his engineered flesh, blasting a stream of furious lightning at the assault carrier. He electrified the craft. The canopy lit up. Rune banks sparked. Systems sizzled. The flesh of the Skitari warrior constructs inside spasmed and roasted. With his lightning spent, the Carrion sagged. The shattered shell of the carrier smoked and sparked. The ear-bleeding corruption pouring out of the warped thing was no more, and the quad between the skyscraping worker habs enjoyed a moment of silence. The great guns of the Titan had fallen silent. Through his augmetics and feet, the Raven Guard could feel the Tower Preceptory's end. Thousands of tons of rockcrete and plasteel had tumbled down, blasted to crumbling masonry and sheared girders by Tantus Abiliterus. The assault carrier had come down a few blocks away, but the Carrion could hear others descending, swooping in like vultures to finish any survivors. The Carrion couldn't imagine anyone surviving such a catastrophe. Even if they had, he reasoned, what was left of them would be swiftly destroyed by the hordes of Skitari, poised to swarm the mountain of rubble. The Carrion nodded to himself. It was time to rejoin his legion. In spirit, at least. He would need all of his skills in stealth and genetic talents to survive Mars at war with itself. There would be hell unleashed, and battles to be fought. But the Carrion knew where he was going. He had to get off-world and back to Terra. While the Emperor's loyal angels brought distant worlds to compliance, Mars had rebelled. The Carrion felt the wind on his face. The Tower Preceptory and the Tech Marines in training within were no more. A mountainous bank of rockcrete dust from the collapse billowed its way towards him, bathing the maze of quads and thoroughfares that weaved their way through the workhab blocks in a ghostly haze. Turning and walking away, his hydraulic legs crunching grit underfoot, the Carrion became one with the swirling murk.